This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Laurie Anderson is a Renaissance woman, composer, musician, poet, theater whiz, instrument designer, fine artist, and I'm probably forgetting others. She conducted her first symphony made from the sounds of car horns in 1972. And a few years ago, she was the first and maybe last artist in residence for NASA. Anderson has collaborated with musicians all over the world, from tuba and throat singers to the rock legend Lou Reed, who also happens to be her husband. She has a new album out now called Homeland, and I am very pleased to have her with me now. Laurie Anderson, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks a lot.
This new album, how did it all start? What was the genesis of this?
I just went out and started playing music in all sorts of different places, and with lots of different people, too. These throat singers and jazz guys and kind of electro-pop people. And we'd play the same music, and each time it would sound really totally different. So I thought I would write this record on the road. And that was like, turned out to be a big mistake. They don't just write themselves, you know. You don't come back from a tour and it's done. So I went into the studio and decided to rebuild the most exciting parts from live shows. So I take, you know, a viola line from Sweden and a guitar line from Colorado and try to put them in the same song. And this is really can make you go mad because they're not really in the same tempo, even though they're just sort of the same song. And I was really depressed about it, you know. And then Lou Reed, who's my husband and my best friend, got really sick of hearing the, like, oh, I'll never finish this. You know, he said, okay, I'm going to come to the studio and I'll sit there with you till it's done. I thought, is this a good idea? Not really sure. But he did. And play something and he'd say, okay, that's finished. Move on. I said, no, wait a second. That's not finished. That needs a little more, you know, whatever. See, that's finished. Move on. And he was able to hear the parts that really needed some work and leave those little mistakes in. Leave that in. Don't take it all out. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
You were saved by your husband. You were saved by Lou Reed. That's romantic.
Yeah, it was romantic. Yeah, it was. I'm really, really grateful to him for that.
One of the things you do on this record is assume this male alter ego with a giant left eyebrow called Fenway Bergamot. And I discovered yesterday he has his own Facebook page. I was impressed by that. Tell me about Fenway.
This is something I've been doing for a long time. Audio drag, basically. Uh-huh. So electronically, your voice goes down to there. And it's super handy to have because you know, you just get sick of the sound of your own voice yammering on about this and that. And then, plus you have your own point of view, or, you know, it's your point of view, but it's kind of limited in a lot of ways. And if you have another voice, you find you're seeing things a little bit differently. If you're talking like that, you know, whatever.
He is on the track on this record called Another Day in America.
Ah, America. And yes, that will be America. A whole new place. Just waiting to happen. Broken up parking lots. Rotten dumps. Speedballs, accidents, and hesitations. Things left behind. Styrofoam. Computer chips. Jim and John, oh, they were there. And Carol, too, her hair pinned up in that weird beehive way she loved so much.
There's a line at the end of the song, of that song, How Do We Begin Again?
And Greg and Phil,
not to put too fine a point on it, but let's put too fine a point on it. What has ended? Or what is ending?
Lots of things are beginning and ending. You know, and I think when I first started sort of formulating some of the things in Homeland was really the invasion of Iraq and also the revelations of torture. And, you know, I
you mean Abu Ghraib?
Yeah. It just changed my idea about this place. And, you know,
really? You were a patriotic right-wing Republican until then?
Did you have me pegged for that?
It just made you less, cutting America less slack as a nation, as a regime?
Made me really sad. It really did. And it kind of cut into my self-image, you know, how a bit of who you think you are has to do with where you think you come from. And it really did shock me. I think it shocked a lot of people. It was like sickening. So I thought, what is this about anyway? So a lot of the songs that I originally wrote for Homeland were super dark, but most of those didn't make this record. There was one called Bad Guys. I mean, it was really dark. So the Obama administration comes along, and I have a different outlook. Pretty much when right wing is in power, I write political stuff, and when the left wing's in power, I write some poetry.
There's one track on this record called Transitory Life, where you collaborate with a group of Tuvan throat singers. Let's listen to that.
She made herself a bed inside my ear. Every night I hear her sailing through this transitory life. We're moving through.
First encountered this group called Chergalchin at the Rubin Museum, right?
My favorite museum in New York, Museum of Himalayan Art.
And all kinds of interesting things beyond Himalayan art.
Oh, yeah. The curator, Tim Henry, the producer there, is fantastic. And so he invited these guys to come and play. And I went out of my mind when I heard these guys. They were, you know, throat singing is a kind of really fantastic skill of this eerie whistling sort of comes out your ears, and you know, it's like this a radio tuned to 10 stations at once. It's
some of them on Venus.
Yeah. And very pure, very heartrending. They make all their own instruments too, these kind of two-stringed violins called igil, which are similar to the Chinese two-stringed erhu, which are played with a bow in between the strings, and it sounds like it's a beautiful, scratchy, throaty sound, completely the opposite of our violins, which are vibrato and pure and, you know, kind of from a distance.
We should record you doing every instrument in the orchestra. We could have a sort of synthetic Laurie Anderson orchestra.
Let's do that right now. It wouldn't take too much time.
Yes. Then sell it. It's an app.
Okay. An app. Orchestra. Orc app.
Right.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So you saw these guys doing their extraordinary singing with their extraordinary instrument and said, I want them for this record?
I said, come into the studio for a couple of days and play with us. I wasn't making a record then. It was just for fun. And it was magic. It was so great to be playing two different sides of the world. You think the world's really small. It's not. 11 hours for them to fly back to Moscow, 5 days on the train, 4-day car ride, and a day of walking. I asked them to come and play with us on a tour. And so we played this fantastic show outside in a castle a couple hours north of Lisbon, the kind of show where all of the notes just go drifting out into the night. You know, there's no walls for them to ricochet against. They just go, ah. No, it's beautiful. After the show, these guys are packing up their horse head fiddles and banjos and stuff, and they're walking off. And I said, guys, where are you going? Turned out their Russian manager had forgotten to arrange transportation for them back to Lisbon. So they were going to walk. It would be 10, 12 hours. You know, why? Because they are nomads. It was not like Americans who go, where's the van? You know, no, they went.
Did you let them walk?
Yeah, I said, you know, you're nomads, keep going. No, I corralled them back. But, you know, working with people outside your world is really great. You know, they just don't have the same rules about time, about music, about being in the world. They just work in a whole different way.
Roy Anderson, thank you very much.
Been fun.
Lori Anderson is currently building a very cool-sounding music park with singing trees in Basel, Switzerland. Her new album, Homeland, is out now, and you can hear a bonus live in-studio performance from Lori at studio360.org.